Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Continuing Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 25, and that of the three modes and beyond, text number 13. Yadi taro jayet sattvam. Basvaram disadam shivam. Tadasukena yujeta dharma jnavi bipumam yadi taru jayet sattvam basvaram visadam sivam tadasukena yujeta dharma jnadi vipuman yada when itaro the other two jayet overcomes sattvam the mode of goodness basvaram luminous visadam pure, Shivam, auspicious, Tada, then, Sukena, with happiness, Yujita, he becomes endowed, Dharma, with religiousness, Jnana, knowledge, Adivi, and other good qualities. Puman, a man. Translation. When the mode of goodness, which is luminous, pure, and auspicious, predominates over passion and ignorance, a man becomes endowed with happiness, virtue, knowledge, and other good qualities. Purport. One can control one's mind and senses in the mode of goodness. Okay. Om Agyanati Marandasya Gyananana Salakaya Chachurin Minitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham karoti vachalam pangam nangayati girim yat kripatamaham vande sri gurum dinatarinam sri chaitanyam iswaram paramanandamadavam sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda sri advaita gadadha sri vasadi gaura bhaktavinda hare krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the mode of goodness is described here as basvaram or luminous, enlightening, effulgent. It is uplifting. Because the mode of goodness may be a material condition of life, but within the mode of goodness, we are looking at the spiritual platform. Within the mode of goodness, one may not have attained the spiritual platform. One may not have full transcendental knowledge, but the mode of goodness is seeking for transcendental knowledge. Within the mode of goodness, we are basically prepared to control the senses. And because when one controls the senses, one does not become afflicted by excessive attachment to the sense objects. Otherwise, in the 11th canto, it is said that why is it that the mind goes into the sense objects and the sense objects go into the mind? So this is what happens. The mind becomes obsessed by material objects, material things. And then they enter our consciousness, and subsequently the entire consciousness begins to rotate around these material things. The example given is the Griha Medha. It said the Medha is like the name for the rod that is used to tie the bull. You may see that bulls or bullocks are sometimes used for grinding grains or pumping water, and then there is a wooden beam which is attached to an axle and it rotates in a circle, and the bullock is just walking in circles. This is called the Medha. So it said the Griha Medhi is walking in circles around his household life. And that's it. This household life is the field for his enjoyment. That is what he lives for. This is where we enjoy. And that is all there is. But the point is that such enjoyment will not last. Such enjoyment one may try to create. One may work very hard to create a little wonderful world. We put so much energy to build it up. And it takes years to build it up. Years of austerity. And just making the funds. And then finally we have created something. It's a little nice. Then struggle to maintain it. And then it just slips away. Just as water runs through the cracks between one's fingers. One cannot keep it. So why so much endeavor for a nice situation in the material world, and putting all one's energy there and all one's hopes for happiness there? This is Maya. So in the mode of goodness one is aware of that, and therefore in the mode of goodness one will not over endeavor for material comfort. In the mode of goodness one may make arrangements for the necessities of life and for a certain necessary comfort. Comfort that is favorable for maintaining good health, for maintaining peace of mind. That is required. But beyond, how much more do we require? When we have health, when we have peace of mind, what else do we need? How much more do we require? Rather, we spend our time in cultivation of transcendental knowledge. The Brahmana is the embodiment of the mode of goodness. It is said, Janmanam Jayate Sudra. By birth, everyone is a Sudra. Sanskarit Bhavidvija. By sanskara, by purificatory activities, one can become twice born. And then Veda Bhavet Dvija, Veda Patet Bhavet Dvija. By following the path of the Vedas, one can become a Vipra, can become learned. A Vipra is a Brahmana, but a lower level of Brahmana. The Vipra is the Brahmana who preoccupies himself with Karma Kanda. In other words, he's performing ritual to improve the temporary conditions of life. So the Vipra is always concerned with various sacrifices or ritualistic performances to get blessings. Bless my home, bless my life, bless my children, bless everything, bless, 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 bless it. But all the blessings of the world cannot overcome the basic fundamental problems of material existence. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, or birth, death, old age and disease. These cannot be overcome by any amount of karmakanda. These are fundamental elements of material existence. Possibly, one can temporarily diminish them or postpone them. Alright, so possibly karmakanda, through karmakanda one can avoid some disease. Possibly, through karmakanda, one can avoid old age a little longer. But one cannot overcome these fundamental problems. Therefore, a devotee has no interest in karmakanda activities because he sees it's just temporarily holding up the inevitable. It's not really solving the issue. Therefore, we can focus on spiritual life. We will not be interested in the activities of the vipra. It said, a brahmana janatiti brahman. A brahmana is one who knows brahman. He knows that everything, brahmana pratistaham, that everything is resting on transcendental energy in this world. And he sees, therefore, behind. A brahmana sees behind the external forms, and he sees that actually behind all this is the Supreme Lord. And that is the beginning of spiritual life. So cultivating transcendental knowledge means that we cultivate this principle, that we are not the body, and that behind everything there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To know that we are not the body is not so simple. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was praying, Naham vipra na ca narapatir na pivaishya na sudra Naham varni na ca griyapatir no vanasta yatirva kintu projan nikila paramananda ritadya gopi parta padakamana yodhasana dasana das. He was pointing out, Naham vipra, I am not a vipra. I'm not a brahmana. I am also not a kshatriya, not a vaishya, not a sudra. I am not a brahmana, a kshatriya. I am none of these things. I am not part of varnashram. Bodily designations do not apply to my true self. I am rather the eternal servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. So that is the consequence of realizing that one is not the body, and that's quite difficult to in all circumstances be the servant of the Lord, because we are combining self-interest with devotional service. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote in one letter, he said, Prahlad, wherever he looked, he could see the Supreme Lord. And Hiranyakashipu, wherever he looked, he could not see the Supreme Lord. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, and we are in between. That means we sometimes see the Supreme Lord and sometimes we don't see the Supreme Lord. That is our predicament. That's exactly what's going on. Sometimes we remember Krishna and then, yes, we are totally into spiritual life and we really feel that this is it, and then we forget. And we become caught up in so many overwhelming circumstances of the body. Then we become caught up in the bodily conditions of life. and I really want this, and I desire this, and I need this, and I'm suffering, hankering and lamenting is then becoming our position. So it is said, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatmana Kangsatina Sursati. One must rise above hankering and lamenting. So this state of being a Brahmana, of being in the mode of goodness, means that by transcendental knowledge, a Brahmana is constantly reminding himself, I'm not this body, and therefore hankering and lamenting for various physical types of comfort or enjoyment are not important. I'm not going to bother with this. I'm going to spend my time in cultivating transcendental knowledge. That is a Brahmana's business. But then beyond, a Brahmana is a Karsna, actually. A devotee of Krishna. And a devotee of Krishna, he is not interested at all. You can also say Vaishnava, devotee of Vishnu. Same. He is not interested even in cultivating knowledge per se. He is interested in serving the Supreme Lord. Somehow or other. And in the cause of serving the Lord, knowledge is required of how to serve the Lord. But otherwise, the devotee understands, I am not this body. This body is simply a vehicle for serving Krishna. And otherwise, what is the use of it? Everything else we do with it will only bring us more and more misery. It will entangle us in misery. Even if we think that we go for enjoyment, that enjoyment will transform into misery in due course of time, and it will bind us. So, only service. Therefore, we make it a practice to fill our time with service. Therefore, we worship the deities. Because deity worship is such a thing that it keeps you busy all day. All day. It's just inconceivable how much there is to do for the deities. I mean, the kitchen is working around the clock. The cleaning department is making all kinds of arrangements. There is a huge paraphernalia room, and there's so many things to organize in there. So deity worship is very favorable because it is a way that we can engage ourselves and can stay busy in service. Otherwise, how would we stay busy in service? Very difficult to constantly be busy in devotional service. Just like, alright, do a little service here, a little service there, and now what? Now what? I've chanted 16 rounds. Now what do I do? I've read 1 hour. Now what do I do? There is everything related to the deities. Deities require a temple. The temple must be kept clean. So many things to do. It must be maintained. All that will give us a lot of engagement. It's said for the. There is another way to become engaged full time, and that is through Harinam Sankirtan. Harinam Sankirtan basically is referring to the glorification of the Supreme Lord. Kirtan, Kirti, means the fame or the glory. So, Kirti, the fame or the glory of Krishna. Kirtan, glorification. Constant glorification of the name, fame, glories and qualities of the Supreme Lord. Then Sankirtan, then in association. Because the essential element of Sankirtan in this world is to bring that glorification to others. That is our business. So one who takes that up to becomes the well-wisher of all living beings. That is in Bhagavad Gita, Suridam Sarva Dehinam. the well-wisher of all living beings. Well, when you are the well-wisher of all living beings and try to give every living being the mercy of Krishna, then you have service enough to keep always engaged. So in Sankirtan also we can stay constantly engaged, because the real taste of Sankirtan is to give out the mercy. Somehow or other give them some mercy, this way, that way, this way, that way, find a hole and put it in there as much as possible. Just different ways. And that mercy that can reach people in so many ways. So many ways. So many ways. And devotees become more and more creative. How to give the holy name. How to give prasadam. How to give transcendental literature. This way or that way. So many different things have been done. When we were out on book distribution, when it rained, we would stay in the car. And then we'd wind the window down and we'd call somebody over as if we're asking the way. And then they were standing out in the rain and we'd give them the book. So, in that way, we stay dry. So, many different tactics have been employed to somehow or other give the book. Then we also did it the other way around, that the people were in the car and that we were out in the rain, soaking and soaking all day in the rain. So when we turned the roles around, we liked it better. But whatever, different ways to somehow or other give out the books. One thing the devotees did in the Netherlands when I was new, I was brand new, and they took me to these hospitals in the visiting hour, two devotees, and we would just boldly walk in with a box of books, and then one would stand on a chair and would give a whole speech about the greatness of the work we were doing and helping so many people in the world, and for that we were distributing these wonderful books here today, and everyone was getting a promotion copy. Yes, yes, and everyone. And in the visiting hours in a ward, there can be 100 people. Right? So everyone a book. And then we'd ask for a donation, and then we'd look at somebody who gave a big one. We'd go there, take it, hold up the money and say, "And this gentleman gave," you know. And then everyone else started to take some more money also. So it was really good. A lot of books and a lot of Lakshmi, and it was great until the moment that a nurse would walk in and with an icy voice say, "What is going on here?" And then we'd have to bluff our way out. Well, we're doing the charity action. Charity action. What? No, haven't you read the letter? Letter, letter. So, John, you know, you haven't read? Must be in the office. Yes, yes. No, no, it's there. Yes. You go check it out. So, we send her away and then try to escape. Right? And if we manage to escape, then we would go one floor down and do the same thing again. I almost became a patient in the hospital. just of high blood pressure, anxiety, and heart trouble. But somehow or other, these kind of activities save us. They save us from the material energy. They save us from the modes of material nature. Although I was in total anxiety in that hospital, to tell you the truth. Dead scared of that icy voice of the nurse that could come any moment, and the police that would follow, and so on. Still, looking at it, I'm now in hindsight, I must say it was very good, because it saved us from the three modes of material nature. It saved me from dwelling on sense gratification. It saved me from the iron grip of lust, which is otherwise so difficult to overcome. All these things are saving us. So, in this way, by developing this mood of let's give this mercy to others, we can become very strong. But then, we would be out sometimes for an entire week on traveling Sankirtan, and the whole week deal with materialistic people. And then when we would come back to the temple, it was so wonderful. It was just so enlivening to be in the temple. And we appreciated it so much. And the Sankirtan devotees would dance and dance in front of the deities, really in ecstasy of being back in the temple. Yeah, it's such a wonderful transcendental atmosphere, away from all this heaviness of the modes of material nature and the strong influences of passion and ignorance that are just out there in the material world. And just say, what a haven, what a wonderful place where one can just breathe and everything is inspiring and transcendental. So, in this way, we truly appreciated the glories of worshipping the deities in the temple. And saying like, what a wonderful spiritual atmosphere this is. And in this way, between both, between Sankirtan and between worshipping the deities, or between the Pancharatriki Vidhi and the Bhagavad Vidhi, a devotee is properly situated. In this way, we can actually fix ourselves very easily, very easily, if we do both. Because the Sankirtan gives life. It is the life. Anandam Burivardhanam Patipadam Punam Ditasvardhanam Sarvatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtana. It gives the life of transcendental knowledge. It gives a taste to see that people are changing, to see that by our influence we can do it. Yes, we too can be an instrument. It's very satisfying to be an instrument in uplifting others. It's very absorbing also. And in teaching others, then immediately we are at our best. Then suddenly we find words that we usually don't have at our disposal. Suddenly we get inspired and we feel Krishna's presence very much. We can feel Krishna is here, Krishna is helping, Krishna is part of this, Krishna is giving me the power. Right? Somehow I'm doing things here that ordinarily I cannot do. All these kind of experiences give us strength and bind Krishna in our heart. And then we return home to hear about Krishna, and just the acharyas are speaking about Krishna in such amazing ways. They are described as kavi, as being poets. I was reading that Kavi Karnapur said that the poet is with his words glorifying Krishna. And why not? He said, why not? This is not just a play of words. He may be playing with words, but these words are binding Krishna in his heart, in attachment. Therefore, this play of words is more than a play. Because when we begin to describe the glories of Krishna in befitting words, then in the course of that, we are realizing something about Krishna. We're realizing something. When an actor begins to act out the pastimes of Krishna, he is not only acting out the pastimes of Krishna, he's exploring the pastimes of Krishna. He's exploring the different moods that exist in the pastimes of Krishna. Maybe not to the fullest extent of the spiritual world, but definitely more than the ordinary dull state of consciousness of the conditioned soul, who is very shallow on the emotional plane. Kind of, well, what's going on today? What's happening this weekend? Well, you know, we're gonna all go out on Saturday night and get zonked. That's what Saturday nights are for, to get zonked. That's material life. Work and get zonked. Work, for those who don't know what get zonked means, it's the result of intoxication. Because that's what it is. As soon as it's a party, here it comes. There's the bottle. Bring them out. Yes, we have an excuse. Yes. Every time. Yes. And in the first class, ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you with champagne. Yes. We have money. So what do we do when we have money? Then we have a party all the time. Champagne. Yes. Here you go. Where do you go? To hell you go. But nobody wants to go alone. Ting. We'll go together. Great. Wonderful. Yes. In this way, in the material world, it's work and partying. And partying means sinful activity. Just go home for Christmas and see what's going on. And India's catching up, also begins to celebrate Christmas in a big way. One Christmas evening, I came to Connaught Circus in Delhi, India's capital, and there was a huge traffic jam, huge. And everyone was sitting in their Maruti, and they had the back door flapped open of the Maruti, and some were sitting in the boot, some were sitting on the roof, and everyone was drinking whiskey, yes, and celebrating Christmas, Indian style, yes, it's like. Prabhupada said, India, he said, will be the best and will be the worst. He said like that. He said it will be the best and it will be the worst. When the age of Kali will manifest, it will be the worst. Oh yes, we know in so many ways. We know that the doctors are operating the villages and stealing the organs. It's a big business. Yes. A little operation. Take a kidney for removal of the appendicitis. Yes, appendix removal and at the same time kidney removal. And the rich are paying good money. These things are in the Indian papers. Times of India. You can read it. Yes, regularly, not once, twice. Doctors are caught all the time in the hospital. The age of Kali. So, the best and the worst. Somehow or other. Just see. Well, anyway, so we are now here to focus on Srimad Bhagavatam. And in this chapter, we're dealing with the three modes of material nature. And it says the three modes of material nature and beyond. And our interest is especially beyond, as we discussed in the last few days. The mode of goodness is like a support to us, but it's not our aim. It is not our aim. Our aim is to serve Krishna. But because we live in the material world, we try to make arrangements in the material world in the mode of goodness. Because it's difficult to serve Krishna if you live in an environment of ignorance. If there's filth and intoxication everywhere, if you live like on top of a bar, and around you there's just intoxication, prostitution, and all these things. That's not a very nice atmosphere for practicing devotional life. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. It's a little difficult, a little difficult. So we are simply trying to make, since we are in the material world, we're trying to make arrangements in the mode of goodness so that we can practice spiritual life more peacefully. But we are not interested in the mode of goodness. It's not like that is what really interests us. No, it's still the material world. We're interested in devotional service. We're interested in Krishna. We're interested in cultivating Krishna consciousness. And we're interested in learning to become compassionate. What is compassion? How can one be compassionate? Is it a sentiment? Compassion only really begins if we appreciate that we have something better. If we have something better, then we can be compassionate. Otherwise, you can go out on book distribution and you can see all your old friends sitting on a terrace somewhere, like drinking outside in the sun, and you can feel compassion for who? For yourself. That you have to stand out there with those books in the street and everyone else is having a good time. That's how it is. But if we are convinced that we have something better, then we can develop compassion for others. Then we can actually experience real compassion. And the more we are relishing Krishna consciousness, the more compassionate we can be. The more we can preach very easily. Because we are relishing. We are relishing our Krishna consciousness. It's so wonderful. Please, take some mercy. No, I don't want it. That's okay. Nobody wants it, but they take anyway. Take somehow or other, just give it to them. When we are full of relishing this Krishna consciousness, then naturally we will want to give it to everyone, and then naturally people start appreciating us. They have something nice. It's like I bought a yellow jacket and someone said, "Why do you have a yellow jacket?" Right? I said, "Because it reminds me of the sun, you know, and some bright positive effulgence in a world where everyone dresses in black and darkness." Right? And Krishna is like the sun. Right? He brings light in the darkness of this world. That is a fact. That is Krishna consciousness. It brings light in the darkness of this world. Krishna Surya Samayahayandaka. And Maya is just bringing us so much darkness in all directions. Suffering, burdens, difficulties, stress, anxiety. And Krishna consciousness is just lightening it all up. So if we get absorbed here in the temple, here where we are free to worship Krishna, and if we drink it, then compassion will follow. Srila Krishna Chakravarti Thakur is speaking about the third verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Nigama Kalpataru Dalitam Phalam Sukumukha Amrita Drava Samyutam Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Rasam Alayam. He said we should drink the nectar of the Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam. He said Alayam, this Laya. He said Laya is one of the eight ecstatic transformations that come when one is in bhava. And what laya means, it means fainting. He says, therefore we should hear the Bhagavatam until we faint. That's it. He said, but then you can't hear Bhagavatam anymore. He said, that's all right. Then when you come back to your senses, you should hear Bhagavatam again and faint again. So this is what we're doing here. We're going to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam until you faint. Some just faint by the thought of it. But it is very interesting to see how these acharyas are thinking of Srimad Bhagavatam and of what we are having here, this great treasure. So we are in this chapter very thoroughly studying the modes of material nature. But always from the platform of beyond. Right? We are looking from the transcendental platform at the modes of material nature and to what extent how we are going to interact with them. And with the modes, the lower modes of nature, we remember Sukadeva Goswami, who would go to the houses of entangled householders, and I'm not speaking householders, I'm saying entangled householders, not enlightened devotee householders, all glories to the Grihastha Ashram, showers of flowers and everything for them. But we're speaking about the entangled householders of the materialists. And Sukadeva Goswami would not spend more time than it takes to milk a cow. And during that time, he would give some mercy. Go in and out. And that is what we do. We go in and out. We're careful that we're not going to associate too much with the modes, the lower modes of ignorance and passion. Because we might get affected. One devotee complained to Srila Prabhupada. He said that my mind is giving me so much trouble because I'm always getting memories of my previous sinful activities, and I really try to be Krishna conscious, and then even during japa these thoughts of my previous sinful activities come. And Prabhupada said they come to remind you that you should never do these things again. But we think when they come, maybe I should do it again. Just see. So we are careful because we are still sometimes prone to do these sinful activities again, even if it's just in the mind. But it begins in the mind. Jayato visyapum sam sangate supajayate begins in the mind, then attachment arises, and then we will act. Therefore, we are careful not to associate too much with the lower modes of nature. Only for the sake of preaching, and not too long, and then we'll return to the mode of goodness. And we make sure that in our material arrangements, we keep a good dose of goodness in our life. Wherever we are, we make the arrangements. It's necessary. I went with Adi Purush 1 year to the Dream Festival, which is somewhere in New South Wales countryside. And in this, there's a big valley, and there's these huge speakers, and then there are 30,000 people in the valley, and a big rave is going on. Well, we were there the whole day, and it was loud. It was really, really loud. But we didn't stay there. That would have been too much to just stay there. We had somewhere a little sane place where we stayed, away from the festival, where it was peaceful and quiet, and where we could chant proper rounds. And then we would go back into this insane, insane universe of sound. And there was one man, I don't know what he took, but he was dancing all the time. We were there for 3 days. For 3 days he was dancing in front of the speakers, tower speakers, like higher than the ceiling, and he was dancing in front. He must be deaf for 7 lifetimes, I tell you. But then, in the middle of the rave, they put us on the stage. And we were there, and they put us on there for a bhajan session. I thought the people will pull us off the stage, you know. But no, they liked it. And in fact, they liked it so much, they let us go on for 2 hours over the big speakers. It was pretty good. I mean, I must say, best sound system I ever had. Yeah, it's quite good. Even better than the one in the Melbourne Temple. So, we can go into such places of ignorance. But how much can we enter? In the 80s, here in Melbourne, we also used to sometimes sell paintings or do stickers to raise money for the temple. Well, it was for a transcendental purpose. We gave the money to Krishna. Although money sticks, huh? So in many cases, you know, it was, yes, money, some money for Krishna and some in the pocket. That is one danger. And there were other dangers, many other dangers. At one point, they sent us to do the drive-in cinemas with stickers. That is not good for brahmacharis, not even good for grihastha brahmacharis. It's not good for devotees, because what people do in drive-in cinemas, you may know, and it's a boys and girls affair, and they are in the car, and whatever's going on in that car is not within the four regulative principles. I developed a technique. I used to knock on the back of the car, loud, knock, knock, so that they got time to be more presentable. And then I'd come to the window and hold up the sticker and get the donation. But this was, we were raising a lot of money for the temple. But at the same time, we're getting very close to the lower modes of material nature. And many devotees slipped as a result. Therefore, now we realized, better not. But in those days, we didn't have a big Indian congregation, so what could we do? Anyway, it's the way. But it wasn't what Prabhupada suggested. Prabhupada had suggested, distribute books, and then you'll have everything you need. And when we distribute books, then we collect, and at the same time we are glorifying Krishna. So that's better. Yes. So we must be careful with the modes of material nature. Careful. Because to practice Krishna consciousness, it is the ksurasya dara, the razor's edge. When shaving, one moment of inattention, there you go, a cut. So when we get too close to the modes of nature, dangerous there. Especially passion and ignorance. Beware, be careful, be alert. Don't go in too deep. Mode of goodness is more safe, and from there it's more possible to practice Krishna consciousness safely. Okay, I'll leave it at that. Thank you very much. Questions, comments? How can we change? How can we check and then that we're going the wrong way? By not being independent, but by being in the association of the devotees. Because the devotees, they will protect us. Therefore, we stay in the association of devotees closely. And the devotees, they will tell us if we go in the wrong way. Oh yes, they will. Don't you worry.
They will do that. They're very merciful. The devotees are always ready to tell us, you're going in the wrong way, fellow. And then especially the senior Vaishnavas. Their instructions carry more weight. So we take shelter of them as much as possible. Sometimes speak a little louder than I can understand what you say. Speaking is meant for communication.
Sometimes it happens we are not doing anything wrong by our actions, but some psychological arguments from the other people, non-devotees, that we are just stuck at one moment and thought.
Can you are speaking? Where are you from? South India. Gujarat. In South India, people, they tend to mumble. And if you could pronounce, I can understand what you say. I get about 10% of what you say.
What am I trying to say?
Maharaj, you have to say to sannyasis.
Sometimes it happens that some arguments are there that we are stuck at a moment to think that what we are doing is it good or like it's so much.
When people are just treating us in a very offensive way, then you keep a distance from them.
Should I repeat the question? Should I repeat his question?
If you could, that would help.
His question is, due to his offenses, sometimes he doesn't know whether he's doing right or wrong.
The devotees will protect him. Again, same answer. We may be... ourselves. See, yesterday I explained the three modes of material nature exist outside of us, but they also exist inside of us. Yeah? So we may be affected by ignorance and passion, and as a result, we cannot judge the circumstances properly. And therefore we sometimes are not keeping the proper distance from the lower modes of nature, because we ourselves are influenced by them, and then we misjudge the situation. So therefore, the senior Vaishnavas, they will set certain boundaries for us. They say, this you can do, that no. And we may think, what's the problem? Like for example, I could say to you, you should not watch Bollywood movies. I say, pop, 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 pop. Bollywood movies, I cannot watch. No, you cannot watch, because they will contaminate your consciousness with passion and ignorance, because they are full of the modes of passion and ignorance. But but someone may not like that instruction. Someone may say, what? You know, this is too much. This is too fanatic. Come on, you know. I mean, this is part of life. This is normal. Everyone is watching. Yes, this is fun, you know. And we may not follow it. So then we need, sometimes we need the senior devotee to really impress it upon our brain. Don't do this. It will not help. It will not help. In Jaipur, There are many mandirs, isn't it? It's famous for mandirs. They say in Jaipur there are 25,000 mandirs. And what is the biggest mandir in Jaipur? The biggest one? You want to know? It is the Raj Mandir. And Raj Mandir, if you are in Jaipur, is very famous cinema. Very famous, Raj Mandir. It's the biggest temple in all of Jaipur. So now Bollywood has become almost something religious. Almost something religious. But actually, it is Maya. Just see. So, watch out. There the lower modes will get you. Watch out. don't go. Don't do it. No. Not even videos and that you bring home. No. Not even on the internet. No. Don't do it. Sorry. Any other question? Yes.
Are you emphasizing before that the environment of drugs and prostitution and so on is not conducive to spiritual pursuits, and yet that's where Prabhupada actually set up shop and started off the Christian movement completely within that environment? So it just underscores how powerful it was and how good it was to do that within that environment where it wasn't conducive to it, because he couldn't have picked a more spot like your description for him to
mm-hmm. Good point. Yeah. Yeah. For the sake of preaching, we have to leave our safe spiritual environment. If we didn't preach, we could always stay in the temple or in holy places, holy dham. But because we preach, then we have to interact with people, then we have to be then we have to interact with the lower modes and people in the lower modes, and we have to be where they are. So then we go downtown, where it's really happening. But even if we are there, we need a little space and a little place of our own, and that we have to protect. And otherwise, we go down in the swamp, you know, we go under. And so you have to be careful. It's not just... It's like, as I say, I am from Amsterdam, and Krishna consciousness in Amsterdam has flourished, has gone up and down, up and down, up and down. Many temples, sometimes a bigger temple, then it was closed, a smaller one, because it's difficult in such a city. When devotees were previously influenced by the lower modes, and the coffee bar is just around the corner, that's a little difficult. And around the other corner, there are the girls. You know, it's difficult. So, difficult places. But we go there for preaching. And Lord Chaitanya helps us with that. Otherwise, he wouldn't make it.
One of my friends was speaking to someone else from another Vaishnava group. And one of the leaders actually, and the leader was saying that if we actually did 64 rounds, then our preaching would have even more impact. And he was saying something about that. Just what your comment would be?
Well, you know, there are so many Vaishnava groups nowadays, and there are some differences in emphasis amongst these Vaishnavas. We are respecting such groups. We are happy that they are Vaishnavas. We're happy that they are trying to preach Krishna consciousness. But we see that the one who was really most potent in spreading Krishna consciousness was one person, you know, and he left all the other ones like not just miles behind, but like, you know, so far behind that we cannot even see the others in the preaching field. And in fact, what we mostly see is that the others are taking people out of Prabhupada's movement, the other Vaishnava groups. They don't recruit so many new people. So the expert on preaching is undoubtedly His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He told us to chant 16 rounds, a minimum. So, that's good enough. Good enough. We don't need to worry. We don't need to. And when we get more mature in our spiritual life, then we may increase our rounds. And one day, we may even chant 64 rounds. We may. But it's not a requirement to go back to the spiritual world. A minimum of 16 every day without fail. And and the blessings of Srila Prabhupada is enough to go back to the spiritual world. Like that. No, so we don't worry so much about other groups. See, we are having the best spiritual master in Srila Prabhupada, in all respect. Yeah. He's like the most intimate associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the chosen one, the one to give Krishna consciousness to the world in the form that it should be. So we don't have to think that there's maybe something better somewhere else. It's not like that. The best is here. Yeah.
Maharaj, if somebody is in the mode of ignorance and passion, and slowly he cultivates, comes to the state of mode of goodness, if he's not careful in that mode, is it a possibility that that person again drops down to a mode of passion?
Yes. First of all, the three modes of material nature are combining, and therefore no one is in pure goodness. There is always a mixture of goodness, passion and ignorance, and therefore there is still some traces of the lower modes within us. So therefore, even when we are living in conditions of goodness, we've cultivated many qualities of goodness, still we must be careful of the lower modes of nature, because we can easily be drawn in, yes, and easily again it can reawaken some of the tendencies that are within us. Therefore we're always careful to keep a safe distance from the lower modes of nature, only for preaching, otherwise as little as necessary. Of course in this world you can't avoid it, it's everywhere, it's all around us. What to do? So we also pray to Lord Chaitanya, to Guru and Gauranga for protection. And if you chant Hare Krishna, that will do the job. Okay, thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.